This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:36. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And for our next story, we're looking at EPF's iSinar initiative. This has seen some mixed reactions, some debate. So the Malaysian Employers Federation, among others, have welcomed the move, saying that urgent interventions are needed for people who have been severely impacted by COVID-19. However, a dissenting view, economist Dr. Mohamed Abdul Khalid says that iSinar misses the point when it comes to helping people who truly need financial aid. And the people he's thinking about or talking about are the people who have lost their jobs or faced salary cuts, and the fact that many of those people work in the informal sector where EPF contributions are voluntary, not mandatory, so the iSinar measures might not help them much or at all. So instead, he's urging the government to give monthly allowances for the B40 and M40 over a period of a year. And he added that it is Putrajaya's responsibility to help Malaysians who are suffering, and countries like Japan and Singapore are already doing it. All this came up, of course, during an interview with the Malaysian Insight. And this, like we said, has been from the time even before it was officially announced, when it was first discussed, first brought up. There is some reticence towards the idea of having to dip into EPF in order to survive this exact moment, and how that might impact your savings, your retirement in the long run. So there is that. But I think that this is a really important perspective, which is if you don't have enough in your EPF in the first place, but you do fall into all the categories that they're saying can apply for the initiative, then you have to ask yourself, where's that money going to come from? And might you not benefit more from this exact proposal, which is more financial aid based as opposed to what iSinar is doing? So let us know what you think. If we were to contrast the two things, so the iSinar platform, which now allows contributors whose income have been impacted by COVID-19 to withdraw up to 10,000 ringgit from their account one, which has to be repaid, versus monthly allowances for the B40 and M40 over a period of a year. Let us know what you think. That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Shankaran Nambia, Head of Research at the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:40. This is the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking now about EPF's iSinar initiative and whether or not it misses some important segments of society, and also whether monthly allowances for the B40 and M40 might be a better way to go just for 1 year. Let us know what you think. That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us is Dr. Shankaran Nambia, Head of Research at the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research. Dr. Nambia, good to have you with us. So do you agree with the argument that the iSinar initiative might fail to help groups that are most vulnerable?
Yeah, I think it would fail to help the most vulnerable groups. The most vulnerable groups typically would be people who don't have an account with EPF, and they're not within the formal setup. And these are the people whom you would be missing out. And these are the people who would really be in urgent need of money to get on with their lives, to put food on the table and the rest of it. So, yes, the iSinar is useful, but it appeals to, or it caters to, a certain target group, a target group which probably is vulnerable, which probably would need assistance. But I could easily think of other sets of people who would be in more urgent need of assistance.
Given that, I mean, why wasn't directly monthly assistance offered in Budget 2021 then, or in the various Banjana programs?
You had some kinds of one-off handouts, one-off assistance, but not on a monthly basis. and not for a prolonged period of time. And I'm not sure why this was done. One possible reason that comes to mind is the fear that ratings agencies would hold it against the country, against the government. It's also possible, on this I'm not too sure what the thinking is, that giving direct cash assistance might cultivate a sense of dependence. As if the latter was the reason, I think it was a misinformed decision. I think this is a time when people do need assistance, and what better way than providing support for a period of time?
So given that, do you think that offering monthly cash aid for a year is a feasible idea?
I'm not sure if it's feasible, meaning I'm not sure if the government can work out a scheme or if there are enough funds in the coffers to be able to make this kind of a scheme possible. And perhaps not for a year, but definitely for a period of time, for as long as this pandemic severely affects the economy. I think, yes, something of the sort would have been useful. Looking at it from a slightly different perspective, I think that's one of the failings of our system. We've never really bothered very much about social safety nets. We haven't really institutionalized, put in place ideas, concepts, mechanisms that would safeguard the interests of workers who lose their jobs. We haven't looked at the idea of providing some kind of a mechanism which would bail out a small SME at a time of this sort, some kind of an insurance scheme. We haven't thought along those lines. So it's quite natural. I suppose it logically follows, therefore, that ideas of this sort haven't been thought about seriously. And surprisingly, in spite of the severity of the crisis, that still doesn't seem to figure in our calculations.
So there's always this question of whether the government has enough money to give direct cash assistance, or whether the financial allocations, for that matter, could have been done differently. What are your thoughts on this?
Yes, definitely. I think things could have been done slightly differently. The needs of the most vulnerable sections of business and of households has not been given the attention that could have been given. Particularly in budget 2021, I'm not denying that there was sensitivity to the needs of the people. But I think the way in which it was handled, the way in which it was addressed, could have been sharper. As I see it, I think this was a sprinkling of goodies in various directions. And it seemed to me that the intention was to try to spread it as widely as possible, with the consequence that some sections were probably ignored. They sort of fell between the cracks. In a word, I suppose the government was trying to be popular. And I guess that was the kind of trade-off that went on.
So if we come back to the idea of monthly cash assistance, what do you think would be a realistic amount to give?
I think this idea of a universal basic income has been making its rounds. It's been discussed academically. There are some countries which have also tried to experiment with it. And I think we at MIR have also been trying to figure out how this can be done. And I think we might even want to go a little bit more deeply into this policy measure. And if you looked at it from the perspective of a universal basic income, I don't think it's such an impossible idea. And I would think that you could probably allocate something like $1,200 per month, which is not a huge sum of money, which would not serve as an incentive not to be doing anything. So it wouldn't dissuade you from taking up a proper job, should a job be available. But at the same time, it would help keep body and soul together during periods of distress. Something of that sort. And I think it wouldn't be such an onerous burden on the government if rather than it being made universally available, if there were certain conditions and if it were directed at certain groups of the population.
Oh, and speaking of that, I guess we often talk about cash aid in relation to the B40, but this time the M40 is being included, which is interesting. Has enough attention been given to the effects of the pandemic on the M40 group?
Sadly, I don't think a lot of attention has been paid to M40. But I suppose, once again, if you had a priority of needs, then I guess the M40 would not be included. Early on, even in pre-pandemic days, the M40 sort of gets excluded. And I have been making this suggestion again and again that there should be adequate healthcare, health financing, affordable housing, education being made more affordable, even at the tertiary level, for those within the M40. And as we know, the M40, a lot of them tend to be located in urban areas. Housing is not cheap. Managing to run a family in an urban area is difficult enough. So we fail to look at these issues. And now with the pandemic, when people lose their jobs, all of these issues come to the fore and they become more prominent. They demand more attention. Someone who lives in a city, who lives in PJ or KL or Georgetown and is thrown out of a job, he still has to pay his rent. So it's not going to be easy. There are some who probably manage to make the pivot and they survive. They see themselves through. There's this case of, we've all seen this case of a pilot who's taken to running a store, a food store, and that's something that should be applaudable. But by and large, I think the M40 one has not been prepared for an onslaught of this sort, and two, has regularly been left out of the policy discourse.
So aside from cash aid then, what can the government do to provide welfare to adults who don't have safety nets like the EPF?
As I was saying just now, we don't have enough mechanisms that have been planned for this eventuality. And it looks like we are not using this opportunity, this health/economic crisis in order to come up with solutions. Who knows whether you'll have another crisis of this sort again. And I think if these issues were thought about, you probably might have come out with some kind of perhaps a ration scheme. You probably might have come out with the idea of setting up government shops which are able to provide food items at cost or at a greatly reduced price, at subsidized price for those in need. You could offer coupons, which could be used to obtain limited amounts of rice, perhaps, or oil. These are some of the things that could be put in place. They weren't. And now is a time, is a good time, as good as any, perhaps a much better time to think about options of this sort.
Dr. Nambia, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Shankaran Nambia, Head of Research at the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research, speaking about the feasibility of monthly cash aid for vulnerable groups and individuals who would not be able to take advantage of initiatives like iSinar. Let us know your thoughts. How do you feel about the proposal for monthly cash aid for the B40 and M40 as opposed to the iSinar initiative, or perhaps as a complement to be able to take care of people who aren't covered by EPF? Fundamentally, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.